Genesis chapter 5. I want to read several portions, bringing out somewhat of the character of Noah in the Old and in the New Testament, and hear God's evaluation of him, as well as what the New Testament authors tell us. So, in Genesis 5, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, and the name means rest, saying, "This same shall comfort us in our work, and in the toil of our hands, which cometh because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Look down at verse 9 in chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch," and so forth. Verse 21, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, there is a 7-day warning, and then the flood comes. It rains 40 days and 40 nights, and verse 24 of chapter 7, "And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days, and then gradually the water starts abating. And in all, the flood lasted 1 year and 10 days. Gradually, Noah is sending out the raven, the dove, to see what the condition of the earth is. And finally, he learns, and God, who told him to notice. It says in chapter 7, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Now, look in chapter 8, it says, "And in the second month," verse 14, "on the 27th day of the month was the earth dry. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth from the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth with his family, and he took all the beasts and birds that had gone into the ark." Now verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing savor, the quieting savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blesses Noah. And in verse 8, the Lord spake unto Noah and his sons, saying, I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, the beasts of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, and so forth and so on. And God tells in verse 14 that in the cloud shall be seen a rainbow. And in verse 15, God says, And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood upon the earth. It's an everlasting covenant. And God says the rainbow is the token of the covenant. Now, I want to read in Psalm 29. This is a more exact translation of this verse. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth as king for ever. Think, God sitting as king at the flood, watching the waters destroy the earth that he had made. Now, Isaiah 54. Verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains may depart, and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. And Ezekiel, in chapter 14, has something to tell us about Noah. Ezekiel 14, and look at verse 13. Son of man, when a land sinneth against me by committing a trespass, and I stretch out my hand upon it and break the staff of the bread thereof, and send famine upon it, and cut off from it man and beast, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they should deliver neither son nor daughter. They should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. And please, let us look in 1 Timothy 3, 1 Peter 3, you remember I read to you from Hebrews about by faith Noah being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And now, in 1 Peter 3 at verse 20, that aforetime were disobedient when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved through water. And the last reference that I want to read to you is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. It says that God spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with 7 others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how much thou hast to tell us, scattered throughout your word, about your servant Noah. Our God, let us know that so often characters such as this are not highly thought of. But our God, thou hast told us how great thine estimate was of this man. We are thankful that his name can be mentioned side by side with Job and Daniel. We are thankful that you let us know your estimate of the worth of your children upon earth. And we desire to know more tonight about this man. We heard something about the covenant you made with him this morning. We desire to learn somewhat about his character tonight, his personality, his likes and dislikes, his obedience, his faithfulness. These things, our Father, we desire to learn about him. So by thy Spirit, give help, both physically and spiritually, our God, and give utterance and bless the hearts of those who have come out tonight. Feed them, our God. Let them not be disappointed. Bless their souls, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Only 2 men lived longer than Noah. His grandfather, Methuselah, and his great-great-grandfather, Jared. Jared lived 962 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. And Noah lived 950 years. But the difference about Noah and his longevity is this. All of those who lived 700, 800, 900 years, these lived that length of time before the flood. Nobody after the flood lived that long except Noah. And then gradually, the age starts decreasing more and more until finally you come to us, and when we are 80 years, or if by reason of strength, 80 years, we are aged, we are feeble, but why, in those days, a man lived over 180 years and then just began having children. And concerning Noah, he lived 500 years, and that is when Noah began to have children. He had 3. That's all that God tells us about. He had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unlike the others, who one son is mentioned, and having mentioned that son, and at what age he begat that son, it said, after that, he lived 300, 400, 500 years, and begat sons and daughters. But Noah lived 500 years, and in a brief span begat 3 sons, and had no more children. So, here is one who lived 500 years, had 3 children, and then after that had no more children, but, and this is what is so remarkable, there were 2 men that lived longer than Noah, and there were only two others recorded in the Word of God that we are told walked with God. And the other two are Enoch, and combining the tribe of the Levites, it says, Levi walked with me. And so only three are spoken of in the Bible as walking with God. Enoch, Noah is one of those three, and Levi walked with God. How remarkable is this man? And so righteous is he, and so far above all of those who lived in his own generation, God says he was perfect in his own generations. That is a remarkable thing. And he was so righteous that he, in his own generation, when God was going to destroy the earth, looked upon the personal righteousness of Noah. And God spared Noah, though he did not spare the world. And so righteous was he, and so in the mind of God is God's heart of mercy to spare. Still, he says, if a land sins against me, and I send judgment upon it, he said, though these three men were in that land, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they would not deliver a son, a daughter, no other person would they deliver. They would only deliver themselves because of their own personal righteousness. Now God is speaking in a way that you and I know nothing about. We're talking about justification by faith, but this is justification by practical righteousness. This is God doing something for Noah because he deserved it. Some of us are lifted from the dust, the dunghill, but it says that God, when he was going to destroy the earth, saved Noah because of his own personal righteousness. And so let's think of this now. Think of this man, and I will tell you four things about him, in particular, concerning his character, that Noah walked with God, that he worked for God, that he preached for God, and that he worshiped God. All of these things are told us in the brief account that God gives us of Noah. In chapter 5, it says, Noah walked with God. It says, when God told him to build the ark, we are told in Hebrews 7, that Noah, by faith, concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. He worked for God. And God introduces him to us when he's 500 years of age. And then 100 years later, he is mentioned again, and the ark is completed, and God says, go into that ark. Now, if he were working all that time, here is a man who worked 100 years for God building that ark. Here is a man that worked for God. What project has any individual ever undertaken that has lasted so long? And when it was completed, rather than see it destroyed, it turned out to be the haven in which he was preserved by God to go through the flood. Now, it says also that he was a preacher of righteousness. We would not have known this, and that is why I rejoice when we read New Testament comments on the Old Testament. And at times, we read comments on the Old Testament from the Old Testament itself. But here, just as we learn concerning Enoch, that he was a prophet, and he prophesied in the book of Jude, and we learn of that prophecy, we would not have known these things just from reading in the accounts in Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We would not have known these things, but we do learn them. And now we learn that Noah was not only a worker for God, but he was a preacher for God, and he was the first man who ever worshiped God by erecting an altar. Remarkable. We learn that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And so Abel was the one who offered a sacrifice to God, but the first one who ever has it recorded that he built an altar in the Bible was Noah himself. And so think of this man. God has four things to tell us among ever so many other things he tells us. And he says, first of all, that Noah walked with me. And then I've shown you that Noah worked for God, that Noah preached for God, and that Noah worshiped God. And the fact that he worshiped God is meaningful to us who gather to the name of the Lord, because there are probably in this town many evangelicals that will outdo us in preaching for God. But when it comes to gathering to the name of the Lord, breaking bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, worshiping God, why, it is something that is strange to them. But here is a man who has combined in his life all of these excellent qualities, and God brings him to our attention. I did not read the fall of Noah in his old age. That may be taken up, it may not. But to think that for his whole life long, until his end days after the flood, he is characterized by these four things, by walking with God, working for God, preaching for God, and worshiping God. Just let me interject this warning. He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. If I ask you, what king in the Bible is spoken of as loving God and as being loved by God? You should say Solomon. And that's right. And who was he who was exalted so high and was loved personally by God and given that name Jedediah, that loving name? Who was it that fell so low in his old age? You say, it was Solomon. And so you who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Because I just heard today that some whom I've known and fellowshiped with 20, 30 years ago now have changed their thinking and the things that were precious to them at one time. The sanctity that meant something to them at one time, it means nothing anymore. They have stood up publicly and said, we renounce our stand concerning the sanctity of marriage. We do not embrace that anymore, and we now accept divorce and remarriage, which our Savior says results in adultery. And so you who think you stand, you take heed lest you fall. And I've heard of those who once thought that worshiping God by breaking the bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, that suddenly that becomes of no importance, and they put it in a secondary place rather than a primary place. So, yes, Noah in his old age fell, and Solomon in his old age fell, and Samson in his latter days fell. And so let us, as we grow older, beware lest we be overtaken by pride and conceit, thinking that what we have accomplished in our youth shall carry over into our old age, and that we shall never sin against God. Noah disproves that by this act that he committed when he was an older man and planted a garden, but I shan't go into that at all. But first of all, Noah walked with God. At times it's easy to walk with God. At times it is easy to be religiously inclined, to put on an air of holiness. Why, it's easy under certain circumstances. But I venture to say this, that if you lived in the days of Enoch and in the days of Noah, when the earth was so corrupt that God said, I can endure it no longer. Because I read you about the long suffering of God. God said, I'm going to only put up with them this long. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And so here is this man, Noah, along with his grandfather, Enoch. Here he is, and his grandfather walked with God. And Enoch, in these abominable, corrupt, heinous, sinful days, it says that Noah walked with God. So who are you today? And I've heard it. They say, well, we can understand why things are becoming so lax. We can understand why our young people do not live for God and why Christian morals are so low. You see, it's the environment. It's the world. The things that at one time were looked upon as good, and they used to call this the good book. I wonder what they would say about it today. I was talking to a man some time back, and I was reading to him from him. He said, do not read any more to me from that book. And yet, in the past, this book was so sacred to them that they would never say such a thing. They may not like the rebuke that it brought to them, but they would never speak disrespectfully to it, of it. But now, it means nothing. And what happens is this, that you and I say, well, it is so difficult because of the moral climate in which we live, it's just impossible to walk with God today. And Enoch would say, false! And Noah would say, false! In a world that was more corrupt than even we can think of today, two men walked their whole life long with God. Enoch, completely, and Noah, until his latter days. Think, how can a man, when the world is alienated from God, when the world is so hardened, that Noah, preaching his whole life long, was not able to gain one convert, how could anybody walk with God in such a world? But Enoch walked with God, and Noah walked with God. And so do not come and tell me, well, it's just impossible. Where I go to school, why God's name is taken in vain, why Jesus, you cannot speak that way. No matter what conditions are that surround you, a man like Enoch, a man like Noah, a man like Levi can walk with God. We cannot use that as an excuse. And I venture to say this, that God appreciates a man like Noah and Enoch as he appreciated Job, because he's looking over the earth and he can find nobody like him. Why, if you have at the same time men like John the beloved apostle, and the apostle Paul and Barnabas and all those men of God that served the Lord so faithfully, God could look down, but he could not point out one as he did Enoch and Noah and Job. But today it would be a delightful thing if God, having so few to look upon, could say, why, this man, that sister, these walk with me. And this is what Noah did until the very last, and what Enoch did until finally, and notice the reward of walking with God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He lived 65 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And after he began having children, it says, Enoch walked with God 300 years. So 365 days in a year, and 365 years, Enoch dwells upon the earth. And from the time he began to walk with God until the last he was seen on earth, he was seen walking with God. And this is the way that I thought of it, that God would walk with Enoch, and through the day he would walk with him. And then Enoch would say, I have to go home to my wife and children now. And then God would let him go home to his wife and children. But one day, Enoch was walking with God, and they walked a long, long distance that day. And God said to him, instead of going home, would you like to come to heaven with me? And Enoch said, yes, Lord. And God said, come up hither. And that's the last the world ever saw of Enoch. To think that God could feel such a way concerning a man in this sinful world, but that's the way he felt about Enoch. Is it possible that he could feel that way about you or about me? And in like manner, God walked with Noah. Noah walked with God. And what was his reward? It was that while walking with God, instead of taking him to heaven, he told him how to build a refuge in this ark. And he said, you walked with me all these years. He said, now I'm going to take you through this deluge that is coming upon the earth. And so God always has rewards for those that walk with him. And so this is the challenge, that in this day and age, walk with God. In the church at Laodicea, the Savior says, you say, we are rich and increased in goods. I have need of nothing. And God insults the church at Laodicea, says, you are miserable, you are contemptible, you are wretched. And he says, I exhort thee to buy of me gold or tried in the fire. And then he gave him other exhortations. And here is this church that God is ready to spew out of his mouth. But then the Lord Jesus, having said that concerning the church, said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What does it mean? It means that in a wicked world you can walk with God. And in a church that is in ruins, that is failing, the Lord Jesus said, I'm knocking, I'm seeking entrance into the heart of the individual. And if the individual opens his heart, in this instance, it's not walking with the Savior, but it's the Savior coming in and fellowshipping with you. I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. And that's just as beautiful, is it not? To sit at the table with the Lord Jesus and he will sup with you. Have you anything to give him? And he will let you take what he has and sup with him. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And this is what I'm thinking more and more about the remembrance meetings. Yes, we're still carrying them on. But which of you come each Lord's Day morning with a basket full, something to have to give to the Lord? This is what is so heartbreaking. And I heard a younger brother talk about it, about going to meetings. He said, and they are devoid of worship so much other than worship of the heart. A heart is filled with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is seeking worshipers, and God is seeking those to walk with him as well. And Noah was one who both walked with God and worshiped God. I wonder if you know the difference between worship and preaching. Some are not aware of it. It says, come worship with us. And it's a ministry service. Come worship with us. And it's a prayer meeting. But it's not worship. Worship is giving something back to God. It is taking the Lord Jesus Christ and all his excellences and offering him back to the Father. And this is something that we have forgotten in the assemblies. I can remember my soul being thrilled as a young man when there were those white-haired old brethren who could stand to their feet and thrill your soul by the way that they worship God. Where are the worshipers today? When you come to the meeting, God required that in the Old Testament, they bring a basket full of fruit and set it down before God. Come with something to give to the Lord. And do not wait until perhaps something that is said, a song that is given out, or somebody else will stand up and pray. And then perhaps, well, maybe something will come to my mind and I can say a few words. It's not that way at all. What do you think God gives you the week for? He gives you that week to live in the Word of God. And then to have your soul so taken up with some portion that is glorifying to God, some excellent truths concerning Christ, that when you come, not only do you not sit still, but you cannot be made to sit still. You must rise to your feet and worship God. And so this is why God spoke so highly of Noah. Because Noah, why, he walked with me, and I thought so much of him that I took him and his wife and his sons and their wives. I took them through this flood. I preserved 8 through that flood. And Noah was one who walked with me. And gratitude. After Noah walked with God and was taken through that flood, the Lord had him to take not 2 and 2 of all, but concerning the clean animals, there were 7 and 7. And so of these clean animals, he offered them in sacrifice to God. He built an altar, and upon this altar, he offered all these clean animals, and God smelled the sweet savor. Let me tell you a little about the meaning of that word. It literally says that God smelled the quieting, the soothing, the pleasing savor. Here is a savor that ascended to the nostrils of God. And God before was filled with anger, righteous judgment against the world. But now that Noah is taken through this judgment, and now Noah worships God by offering sacrifices, it says that God smells this quieting, soothing savor. And he said, I'm not going to destroy man anymore. And after that, when God calls Moses and the children of Israel, he gives them all these offerings, the burnt, the meal, the peace offerings. And he said, they are sweet savor offerings. And when God smelled that savor, it quieted his spirit. It made his spirit rest. And this is what Noah is seen doing when he comes through this flood in gratitude. He starts worshiping God. This is what is so sad, and it's horrible to think of. I'm glad that though his father lived 777 years, he died 5 years before the flood came. And though his grandfather Methuselah lived 969 years, he died the year that the flood came. But it says that his father begat Noah, and then on the rest of the days until he was 777 years old, it said he begat sons and daughters. So it means that Noah had brothers and sisters, numerous brothers and sisters, and not one of them listened to him when he preached, and not one of them went into the ark. And Noah had to go into that ark with his family and watch all his brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and all of his close relatives see them destroyed by the flood. And this is how Noah was faithful in preaching, though God never gave him, to our knowledge, one convert that came into the ark. How tragic. And yet, this is what God tells us about Noah. And there's so much more, and I'm not going to tell you any more, because I'm getting tired and I want to quit while I still have my voice. But will you remember these few things about Noah? Noah walked with God. He worked for God 100 years at least. He preached for God and he worships God. Let us follow after the example set by Noah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that in a world of darkness, you have those that shine. Yes, a world that was fitted for judgment, and yet there was Enoch and there was Noah. We thank you for that. And our God, which one of us here has not criticized the world and spoken of its wickedness, and yet here are we. Let us shine as lights in the world. And may it be said that if judgment is going to fall, that you would look upon our practical righteousness and say, I shall deliver this man, I shall deliver that woman because of their righteousness, their love for me, their worship of me, their ministry for me. Help us, our Father, to be like Noah, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.
Mm-hmm.